Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our focus this afternoon is found in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 35. Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. He told his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed. He said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." He came to his disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "So were you not able to stay awake with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, so that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Dear friends in Christ, one day I was holding up my hands, and my daughter says to me, "Dad, it looks like you're doing the Martin Luther statue out in front of Luther High School." But apparently I've been told that some people like to actually put things into Martin Luther's hand and then take a picture of it. Now again, I'm not suggesting any of you do that. But apparently some people think it's kind of funny to see Martin Luther holding weird, obscure things in his hand. So I'd like to tell you a story about somebody who decided to do that with a couple of oranges. So there was this pastor, this minister who was on a ship. This is a long time ago before they had planes that went across the ocean. He was on the ship going across the Atlantic. And as he was going across the Atlantic, the people asked this preacher to preach a sermon to them, talk to them. And so he addressed the first-class crowd. And in that crowd of first-class passengers was a man who was an agnostic. An agnostic is somebody who's not sure if there's a God or not. So, is there or isn't there? Not, they're not sure. So this man listens to this preacher's sermon, and he got done, and somebody asked him, "Well, what did you think about the pastor's sermon?" And he said, "I didn't believe a word of it." Okay. Well, it happened later on in the day that the pastor was going to go down to the fourth class passengers down below, and some of the first-class passengers decided they were going to go along and listen again. And this agnostic man decides he's going to go along too. He grabs a couple oranges, puts them in his pocket. He's headed on his way downstairs. And as he's going, he gets down to a lower deck, and it's still outside. And he happens to see this elderly lady who is sitting in a deck chair, and she has fallen asleep. And he sees her with her hands like this. And so he decides, you know what, it'd be fun to take my two oranges and put them in her hands. So he does that. Goes downstairs, listens to the preacher again. On his way back upstairs, he happens to see this elderly woman eating and enjoying the oranges. And so he goes over to her and he asks, are you enjoying those oranges? And she says, "Yes, sir, my father is very good to me." And he says, he looks at her and thinks, "Well, you're an elderly lady. Your father can't still be alive, can he?" And she says, "Praise God, he is very much alive." And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she said, "Well, I tell you, sir, I've been sick the last few days here on the boat, and I've really been hoping that I might be able to get an orange. And so I was praying, and I happened to fall asleep, and when I woke up, there wasn't just one orange in my hand, but two oranges." And that agnostic man was speechless. And later on, he became a Christian. You see, prayer works. But here's the thing. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we need to learn that lesson again, and then we need to learn it again and again. I want you to hold You can hold out one hand in front of you or two. I don't care. Either way, hold them out in front of you. And this time I want you to bring your hands together like you're holding on to something really tightly. Like you're gripping hard onto something. Okay, you can put your hands down, okay? Let's look and see how Jesus' disciples were doing a very similar thing. Peter said to him, verse 35, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing. Now, this is very commendable, right? They say, "Jesus, you know, we're going to go with you. We're not going to deny you. We'll even die with you. We're going to hold on to you tightly. We won't let you go, Jesus." And they meant it, at least in the moment. But in this Lenten season, we're going to see that pretty soon they're not holding on to him anymore. They've left him. Some of them have denied him. And in fact, we're going to find out very quickly that they couldn't even hardly stay awake for 1 hour to watch and pray with him. So we're told, here's what happens. Jesus has, as we heard in our Passion history, Jesus has celebrated the Passover with his disciples. They go out of that upper room. They go out of the city. They go down through the valley. And they come up on the hill on the other side, the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, which is across the way from the temple. And apparently Jesus and his disciples often would go out here to pray or for Jesus to teach them. And so they go out there, and Jesus happens to leave some of his disciples kind of at the gate. And then he takes Peter, James, and John along with him a little farther so they can witness what is taking place. Now, this night is not like most of the nights. This night's a little bit different. We're told he began to be sorrowful and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Now, as a true man, we can see how Jesus says, you know, it would be good to have my disciples there with me to sympathize with me and to support me. And I think we all understand this. As human beings, we understand we need the fellowship of fellow believers, people who can encourage us and help us out. At the same time, Jesus also understands he has to do this alone. He has to go and win salvation for us because his disciples can't. We can't. Only he can do that. Jesus is about to drink this bitter cup of sufferings, the curse of our sin. And as he's about to drink this cup, it's not the fear of the unknown. You know, sometimes we do that, right? If there's something that's going to, we're not quite sure how something's going to go, and we get scared of it. We think, oh, this is going to turn out horrible, and then we go and we do it, and it wasn't as bad as we thought. But Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen. And he's still filled with such sorrow and agony. "My soul is very sorrowful, even to the point of death." Now, up until this point, Jesus was always resolutely telling his disciples, "We're going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed, handed into the hands of the elders, and I'm going to be crucified and die." But now that he's staring that cup in the face and he's about to drink it, he's looking at it and trying to grasp just exactly what that means, what he's going to suffer. And so he prays, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus is about to be crushed for our sins. He is about to have the worst of this world, the most disgusting, shameful sins, all of the sins, he's going to be counted guilty for everything. It's all going to be piled on him. And he's contemplating what this means. Now, imagine for yourself what it would be like to be covered in the worst, most disgusting thing you could think of. And maybe you're starting to scratch the surface of what Jesus is about to endure. But he's willing. According to his divine nature, he's willing to do that. He wants to carry out the will of his Father. He's just wondering, "Father, is there a different way that I could carry this out?"
But he says, yet not as I will, but as you will. So he returns to his disciples, and he finds them sleeping. They're no help at all. They're not there to help him at all, and, well, they can't. But Jesus is concerned about them. Jesus sees them sleeping, and he says to them, watch and pray. They are in grave spiritual danger. Watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Here Jesus is, once again, our Savior. He's thinking about every... Well, he's not really... He's overwhelmed to the point of sorrow and death, and yet he's still thinking about his disciples. And he says, you're about to undergo a challenge to your faith. And if you lose that challenge to your faith, you could lose your faith. And he's concerned about them because he says, you know what? You're not strong enough. You're not strong enough on your own. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Is it any different for us? Whatever difficulty, whatever trouble, whatever temptation we're facing right now, or maybe we're going to be facing soon, you know what the temptation is for us to do? It's for us to grab onto that steering wheel and say, I've got this. I'll take care of this. I will do it. I can do it. I will do it. Just like the disciples thought. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you, they said. And we want to say the same thing. I will. My will be done. I'll do it. I'll figure it out. And we close our hands and we grip down hard, and instead of opening up our hands and letting God give us what we need, we say, no, I'll do it. And we can't. And although we didn't keep on reading here, this is what we really need to understand. The next verses show us exactly why we need to pray. Remember, Jesus, according to his human nature, was filled with that sorrow and distress over that cup of suffering that he's about to have to drink. And he wants to drink it, and he knows he's going to, but he's still wondering, is there a different way? And so he had prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And his disciples were no help. So he goes back to his Father again, and listen to what he prays the second time. He prays, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to pass from me unless I drink it, may your will be done. Now, I want you to notice something here. When Jesus prays here, his prayer isn't answered the way he wants either. What he prays for, he doesn't always get either. We have to understand that. Sometimes when we pray, God isn't going to give us what we ask for. But God is going to give us what we need. And so Jesus prays, if there's anything else we can do, no, there isn't. There isn't any other thing we can do here. This is the way it has to be. And so Jesus goes back and he prays again, if it's not possible to do it any other way, may your will be done. And he goes back and looks at his disciples and they're sleeping. He doesn't even bother to wake them up again because they can't help him. And so he goes back and prays a third time. Same thing. May your will be done. And you know what? The Lord answers his prayer. The Lord gives him strength to carry out that will, to go forward and to drink that cup, to be crushed for our sins. The Lord answered his prayer. According to his human nature, he was sorrowing and thinking about that and wondering if there was anywhere else, but there isn't. And so the Lord sends him an angel to strengthen him. He's willing to go forward and do this, but now the Lord strengthens him in his body so that he can carry it out, to do what he was asked the Lord to help him do. And what we notice from this point forward is the victory that Jesus has in prayer. Because from this point forward, there is no more sorrowing. There is no more tears. He goes forward courageously, boldly. Here comes my betrayer. Here comes the people to arrest me. And he goes forward to the trial, and he goes forward, and he suffers, and he dies, and he drinks that cup, and he wins salvation for us. Watch and pray, Jesus says to us, to you and me. And so what do we need to do? Well, we need to open our hands and stop trying to hang on to our own plans and our own will so that God can give us what we need. We need to open our ears so we can hear what God's will is for us, His good and gracious plans for us, the plans that He put here in His Word that He signed with His Son's own blood. So we open our hands, and we want to learn this lesson this afternoon. These three words of truth: watch and pray. Amen.